Blog Talk Radio.
I'm in my penthouse, half naked. I cook this meal for you, naked.
Welcome back to Life, Love in Full Enlightenment. Tonight we are back onto the jealousy topic. We know that things got a little out of hand last week with the system, and we had a little problem going on, but we're up and we're running and everything is fine. Tonight I have with me my co-host, A. Michelle Grogan, who is a, excuse me, I'm choking, one moment please. Who is a certified life coach. I have Janet Hurd, who is a founder of Lesbian 45, Sophisticated on Facebook. And tonight we have a special guest co-host with us, and that's Sky Vaughn. And Sky is an energy medicine practitioner and EFT certified relationship counselor. And I'm your host, Minister Dupree. How's everyone doing tonight?
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, hey.
Hi, this is Guy. Great.
Excellent. Well, we how we do this in here, you can either use your own name if you have a question and you want to talk, or you can give us the area code and the last four digits of your number so that we can recognize who's talking, and so that when people are talking on top of one another, we won't have that kind of situation because you're calling out that information. We know who we're responding to. So last week, before we got cut off abruptly, we were giving out a definition of jealousy, and one of the things we were talking about is that jealousy is an emotion. And it's an emotion that each and every one of us has within us. We just react differently with regard to it, if any of us react at all with regard to it. But if you push the right buttons, we all have it. So we want to open this whole thing up because we don't want to just talk about jealousy being negative, because it is a negative thing, but we also want to bring to the forefront some of the things that will bring jealousy forward, and how we can prevent jealousy from causing turmoil and killing a relationship, and with communication and being honest and open about our feelings and with our feelings. And we're also going to address tonight how sometimes jealousy is intentionally brought on by a partner. It makes them feel as though they're loved if they can coerce their partner into a state of jealousy. So I'm going to bring in A. Michelle first tonight, and because one of her questions today that she put out on Facebook was that, or one of her statements was, she was jealous, and she And then she put a question mark, am I? So we'd like to hear you open up and address that aspect of it, eh, Michelle?
Well, since you brought the topic up, I was a little confused as to whether I was jealous or not. I'm pretty confident. I'm self-assured. I understand and I know my worth. I don't do cat fights over mates. But if someone is being too touchy-feely or what I deem is disrespectful to my relationship, it will stir up that emotion of uncomfortable feelings or jealousy. So I was just kind of wondering, am I jealous?
Okay. Good question to put out there. How many people that are on the line have experienced what A. Michelle is talking about, where you may be at a party and you see someone too hands-on with your partner and a little touchy-feely, and it, you know, puts a twinge on you, and on top of that, your partner looks like they're not trying to create any space between the two of them. They're actually almost embracing that, you know. Is there anyone out in the audience tonight that has experienced that and has anything to say on that part before I bring in Sky to potentially talk about some of that? Everyone, your mic is open, so you can just put out your area code and your last four digits of your phone number if you want to talk. If no one's going to jump in, Sky?
Yeah.
Are you there? Can you address?
I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you all
hear me?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I want to jump in. The thing I wanted to point out, and I had said to you earlier, I'm going to come from a little bit different angle. But you touched on the angle I'm coming from, in that everyone has insecurities and everyone experiences jealousy. It's a normal emotion. We're not robots. We're human and we have feelings, so those things are going to come up. So it's not abnormal. I think what tends to happen, what I've seen in my practice, is people tend to throw that out as a way to put down their partner. Oh, you're insecure or you're jealous. You know, and yeah, sometimes there's reasons to be insecure and jealous, you know, so don't feel bad. I heard the young lady say, I'm confident, I'm self-assured, you know, am I jealous? Yeah, and it's okay, it's normal. You can be all of those things, but again, you're human and you have feelings. And if it's someone that you care about, you know, those things, if they're triggered, they're going to come up. Those emotions are just going to come up. It's normal, and it's a natural reaction.
Yes. And one of the things we do want to clarify is that there is a difference between when you're experiencing bouts of jealousy and when you know something is awry and you're reacting to that. For instance, some people are just very touchy-feely individuals, and they always have to put their hands on you when they're talking, and they hug a lot, and they do all those kinds of things. Now, a person who has some baggage being triggered with regard to that kind of interaction between their partner, that could simply be, in truth and honesty, could be that that's just a very touchy-feely person and there is nothing really going on between the two of them. But because you have been in an experience before where you've had a partner that have strayed, or there have been times when you've been hurt and you've been lied to, then you see that as an interaction differently from what could potentially be happening. I'm not saying this is a 100% thing. I'm just trying to give us a difference between how jealousy works and when you know something legitimately is going on. So now in your mind, you can then build and create entire stories if you're not going to go to your partner and have any questions about what that interaction is and if your partner is honest or not, to be able to respond to you without creating even more angst and anxiety about what's going on. On the other hand, when you know that something is going on and things have changed and you have denoted that there is a change of energy in your partner and their routine has drastically changed, and so you're now really paying attention to the stuff that's going on and you discover that they're cheating, that's not jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
That's you dealing with legitimate feelings of being cheated on, or there being infidelity, or there's a lack of trust now because of something that they've done. Jealousy is something totally different from actually knowing and being able to say for sure that something is indeed happening. So we don't want you to think that when you get that gut feeling that something is going on in your relationship and it's not right, and your partner has the sweet eye for someone else, no matter how temporary it may be, that you're always feeling jealousy, because jealousy comes from a totally different place, and it's not built on intuition. So, and I think we can talk a little bit about that and expand that whole topic. I'm hoping we can, so that people know the difference between when they're having and the emotion of jealousy and when they're really reacting to things that are truly going on. We all have some sort of insecurity, as Sky was saying earlier when she was speaking. We all have it. It just has to be triggered. None of us are that secure and that assured that when we start to see things that look a little tilted to us, that we don't get a little bent about it. And what we want to talk about is how to handle that emotion, because jealousy is indeed an emotion, and it's one that we have to maintain some sort of control over. I want to bring Janet into the conversation and bring Sky and Amy Shell back into it. Unless someone has a question, I'm going to yell out to the audience again. Does anyone have any questions out there that they want to throw out to the host and the co-host while we're going on, or do you want us to just carry on? Give us your area code and your last four digits of your number. All questions are welcome. There are no silly questions. There are no foolish questions. Questions are questions here.
I'm calling in from 410 area code, so I'm just joining the conversation.
Okay.
So I'm not sure where you guys are, so I just wanted somebody to update me.
Okay. Someone want to update?
The topic is jealousy, and we just touched on, we established that jealousy is an emotion that we all have inside of us, and it's triggered at different points by different situations. And so the real question is, how do you handle that? How do you react to jealousy? So at this point, we're trying to just dialogue about how you react in a healthy way, and you have to distinguish the difference between jealousy and that gut feeling that your mate is being inappropriate or doing something inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. My dog has decided he's going to talk to the other dogs in the neighborhood. Guys, I'm sorry about that. So let's go on and let's start to delve into that. One of the other things that we were saying is that it's not something to really feel bad about, and it's not something that you should throw out to your partners as a means of shutting them down because you don't want to answer the questions that they're presenting to you. If your partner comes to you and says, you know, I'm feeling a little uneasy about a certain thing and I think we should talk about it, and they start talking to you about what's going on, the last thing in the world you should say to them is you're just insecure. Because that's not an answer. Nor is it a discussion or dialogue to what they brought to you. You know, you can't use jealousy, the term jealousy and insecure, as a means of dismissing and shutting your partner down and cutting off communication about things and discussions that you're uncomfortable talking about. So we want to address that, and we also want to address, and we're going to bring in, as I stated, bring Sky back in and Janet in to talk a little bit to us about how partners can intentionally create a scenario for jealousy to occur, and they sit back and they watch it play out because it feeds something within them while they're feeding the monster within you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sky, I'll let you go first, and then Janet, I'm hoping that you will piggyback on some of that.
Yeah, absolutely. There are so many dynamics that you touched on, and I want to try and hit the different ones that ran across me as you were talking about it. One of the things is I just want to reiterate that these are not abnormal feelings. They're not. Again, we're not robots. We're human. So these things are going to come up when triggered. I just want to point that out. I've heard so many people say in counseling, I'm not insecure. I'm not jealous. Yeah. If the right button is pushed, you're going to go there. You know, I think people think it's so regurgitated and it sounds like a put down that they don't want to admit that they experience these things. But they're actually normal emotions and reactions to a lot of things. And you do have to pay attention to your gut because it speaks to you. We are intuitive beings, and it's going to speak to us, like you said. You have to pay attention to that. And if your partner, if you do go to your partner, and they throw that at you that I'm insecure, you know, that's, like you said, that's a problem. I counsel my couples with, so what if she's insecure? She might be insecure and she might be jealous. What are you going to do about that? If she's telling you that, then maybe you need to change a behavior, be aware of it, and work with her on it until she gets to a comfortable place, you know, instead of putting her down with it. How can I help you with this? What can I do? I know I had my partner passed away 6 months ago. She had jealous tendencies, and I knew that. So whenever we were in a situation that something might arise or something like that, you know, I knew how she was. So I knew what to pull back from. I knew how to make her comfortable because she was my mate. And that's what you do for each other. You know, are there extreme cases of it? Absolutely there are. And then that's a whole nother topic that you have to deal with. But the normal insecurities and jealousies that arise, you work with each other on those things. And that's what being a partner means. Everybody has baggage. If hers is insecurity and jealousy, you work with her on that because she's working with you on your stuff too. Because trust me, you have your stuff too. The person who's claiming someone is jealous or insecure, you have things that she's working on too to make you more comfortable. But the thing I want to point out the most for women, it's not unusual or abnormal to have feelings of insecurity or feelings of jealousy. It's not abnormal at all.
Janet?
Yes, I'm here. I think that being emotionally secure makes a great difference in relationships. I think when a person is emotionally safe and secure, I think that when they encounter such situations where someone's touchy-feely or, you know, whatever, and you know your mate, you know how loyal and true and honest your mate is when you know that your mate is totally irritated by people who play games or, you know, thrive on trying to make their partner jealous and all those different kind of things. When you really, really know your mate, and you know your mate is not the type of woman to try to edge anybody on to make them feel insecure, I think then at that point you won't experience any jealousy. But I also think that if your relationship is already troubled, you know, you love that person, you're still in love with that person, but if you've been experiencing some rockiness in your relationship due to whatever the situation is, you're no longer emotionally secure, you know, and you be faced with that same situation. You're out and about and you meet people or, you know, and someone becomes a little bit too touchy-feely with your mate or your partner or whatever, that's when you might strike up some negative feelings of jealousy, of that sort of emotion, because you already feel like, well, I don't have a heart at best anymore like I used to. You know, I already know that there is a big gap in our relationship that needs to be filled, and I'm not seeming to be able to close that gap anymore. So there is an insecurity even on that, even if nobody else tried to make her jealous. There's still an insecurity because, you know, that person is not where they used to be with that mate. That mate is striving to stay in a relationship because they still love that person, but they know that it's going to take some work to rebuild where they once used to be. So when you're in if your relationship is solid, I don't think you have any worries or problems in being concerned about somebody on the outside being too touchy or being too filthy or whatever the case may be. Because my thing is, if that were to happen and I'm in an emotionally safe and secure relationship, first of all, it wouldn't bother me. Even if my relationship even if it was not totally feeling grounded, if there was a small gap in there or whatever, my thing would be, it's up to my mate to address that issue or to kind of, like, you know what I'm saying, kind of, you know, let that person know, I'm sorry, I don't mean any harm or whatever, but, you know what I'm saying, kind of like bring that distance there where they don't feel so comfortable in being touchy-feely, because some people are touchy-feely and there are those who are not, but they're trying to make a statement, you know. Hearing and what I've heard this evening, I can say in my own personal experiences in the past, I've been with a woman who was extremely jealous. That right there was unbearable for me. I understand people have baggage. I understand people have their own personal issues that they have to deal with, you know, on a day-to-day basis or whatever the case may be. But when that issue becomes to a point where it's overbearing, where that person, their partner, gets no peace, they feel like they're in bondage. And bondage is nothing more than anything that restricts movement is bondage, whether it be physical, whether it be mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever the case may be, it's still bondage. No one wants to feel like they can't go to the grocery store without having to report, you know, you took 20 minutes, you know, last time, this time you took 23 minutes, you know, just little stuff like that, you know what I mean, or goes to the extreme. I think that it's an individual thing. Yes, everybody has their baggage, but any issue, whether it's jealousy, whether it's, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever your baggage is, if that baggage is causing your partner oppression, then that's going to be a problem. And you cannot compare and say, well, you got your baggage, I got mine, because some people, baggage may not cause anybody else to be feeling down or feeling low or feeling, you know, you know, just feeling suppressed. Your relationship is supposed to enhance you. You're supposed to grow. You're supposed to evolve together. And if you're with someone who's stunning your growth, that's a problem. And especially if they don't see it. If they feel like their behavior is okay, that is a huge problem. And if they think it's okay, that means they're not willing to do anything about it, so they're not going to change. So there's a decision that needs to be made in the circumstances. It's one thing to know, yes, I have a jealous problem, and I love my woman, so I don't want to do anything to push her away, so I really need to work on this. Somebody like that I can deal with, and I'm going to make sure everything in my power to keep her from feeling any kind of way if I got to go out of my way to do extra things.
Hey, Michelle, was that you getting ready to say something?
Yes, I just wanted to kind of jump in there on the part of when it was said that some people are touchy-feely. My issue with that is it's boundaries. And it doesn't even have to be on a relationship level. Some people are not comfortable being touched. So just because you're a touchy-feely person, you should not assume that everybody is comfortable being touched. So I get that. But for me, if I'm at an event and an outing with my partner, it has nothing to do with me being insecure. I don't want you touching and feeling all on me. It's just boundaries, personal space, respecting people's relationship and their marriage. For me personally, out of respect for, I don't know if you notice this, Minister Dupree, but I always try to hug and address Lady Kim first. To me, I just think that's out of respect. I just don't think a lot of people honor respect and boundaries anymore. It's like, it's whatever.
Well, no, you do that. You will, when Lady Kim and I are together, you always address her first, acknowledging that you understand that we are a couple, and you acknowledge to me that you understand that she is my wife, and that you understand that whole dynamic and concept, and we're all friends and everything, but you always keep that line. You always have that boundary and that line drawn that tells us, I understand that this is your relationship and I have no intentions of stepping in it in any kind of way that would cause any conflict. So let me, you know, show you that I respect your relationship. Let's flip this around
that,
a little bit. Go ahead.
I think that a lot of us just don't have that in us anymore. We don't respect relationships, and I do get that some people are insecure, and I do get that there are some people that are just jealous or overly jealous or, you know, where their jealousy is unhealthy, but I think overall we have lost the concept of respect and honor for others' relationships.
And for our relationships, our own individual relationships.
Absolutely.
You know,
I was just about to bring
you in on that, on Sky, right? The Sky talking?
Yes.
I was just about to say, Sky, you know, I wanted to set a new format and ground and then ask you to speak upon and address the fact that not only don't other people respect the relationships of others, but the people who are in the relationships together don't always show respect for their relationship.
Absolutely. And the things that I've come across in counseling is finding out specifically lesbian relationships. You know, we have a hard time valuing our own individual relationships. There was a situation in a group where I think the question was posed, if your mate was unable to have sex with you for, you know, such a year or so like that, would you stay? And I was surprised at the amount of people that said no, that they wouldn't. A lot said they would, but one elaborated, and she said, well, if there's no sex, what else is there? You know, the intimacy. And so, you know, somebody said, well, it's about building. This is your partner. You know, what is the reason? And what it came down to was she did not see a lesbian relationship the same way she saw a heterosexual relationship. You know, so I'm thinking, okay, here we go. I think we don't value our own union as lesbians. We don't see the big picture sometimes. So often we're used to, oh, I'm going to be in this relationship for 3 years and it's over. I'll be in the next one for 3 years, instead of thinking in terms of building a life with somebody and what that means. You know, when we talk about the work, Janet brought up the work that we do in relationships, it's a lot of work. It's when you commit to somebody, this is where we are, this is what we're going to do, we're going to build a life, then the work really begins, because you have to come out of yourself. You cannot be selfish. It's the two of you now. If she is insecure and she has jealousies, you can't throw that in her face. babe, how are we going to work this out? Like, you know, what can I do to help you, you know, deal with this? And you have to act accordingly. There has to be boundaries in place. Like the young lady mentioned, there has to be boundaries in place because people outside don't care about your relationship. The two of you have to. So you have to establish boundaries. And what you're not going to do to disrespect your relationship, you know, so.
And
you
so
have
let's,
to value
let's,
your
yeah.
partner.
Mm-hmm. Let's flip the script a little because we were talking about the person once they have the jealousy and their reactions and their behavior with said jealousies. Let's kind of twist this a little and look at it from a different angle. Let's look at some of the people who push buttons
mm-hmm.
of their partners in order to create a form of jealousy. In their mind, mm-hmm. they may believe that that will make for a stronger relationship. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're feeding off of their own ego. Many times people get themselves into committed relationships because they don't really think that it's going to last. You know, some people go into a relationship with the intentions that it's not going to work and last for a very long time because no relationships they've had prior has done that, and they wake up one morning and they're sitting in a relationship and 6 months have passed and they have now past the threshold of where the amount of time that they've ever been in any other relationship. I mean, some of them might go out and have a party and drink. Man, I've been in this relationship for 6 months. It's the longest I've ever been able to be with one person. And you have all of those things. But if you're sitting across from your partner and you say, wow, I mean, you should really be very proud of me and you should consider yourself very lucky, extremely lucky, because normally, you know, by now, I would have. You have created now a breeding ground for insecurities.
And not only that, that's a really good point you touched on because here is the truth. The very person who does that, who creates the environment for insecurity and jealousy, they are the very ones that are insecure and jealous.
Do you get that concept?
Would
you even say that as well? Like if they're just saying, you know, this is what I used to do before I met you. You know, I used to be like this,
yeah.
And I used to be like that. Do you feel like that's the same thing?
Well,
I'm going to let
everybody touch on that. I would say yes, it's the same thing because that's an accomplishment for you. That's saying that you have matured, that you have grown, and that you now know how to be in an intimate, potentially committed, monogamous relationship. That's not something that you need to share with your
mm-hmm.
partner because, again, if you're saying, this is how I used to be, although most people believe that we have the ability to grow and change, they think that whenever we get into a tough spot, we go to what's familiar. So you've already set up the notion that, okay, well, that's what they once did, and, you know, they're saying I should be lucky, so if I slip up. Because, see, what you're saying is this is not the usual for me, and you're special. So if I stop being special, if I stop being seen as special by them, then will they go back to what they're doing? We have to be careful of the things
mm-hmm.
that we're saying that we think are positive. That's a positive statement for you. But depending on how that person is processing.
Not to cut you off, I guess my thing is, like, what if you're with your partner and you might be having a conversation and you, like, you're trying to listen and you're trying to be open to what they're saying because you don't want them to feel like you're judging them from their past. But if it's like, oh, yeah, you know, we're having a casual conversation and this is what I used to do back in the day, but, you know, it's not like them saying I'm with you now, but this is what my behavior used to be, but I'm not like that anymore. I mean, should you take it as a form of them throwing it in your face? Or should you take it as a form of them just being honest of what they used to be?
As honest as you're being, that person is, you know, it's almost like telling the jury to disregard what was said, what that really means, because the person is not going to forget it. What it really means is that you can't use it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you tell that person that this is how I used to be, but I'm not that way anymore, then the next potential question, or depending on how that person's minds work or their intellect, then my question, I'm going to just use me, my question would be, well, how far are you from that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you have to
tell me that, and you see it as a huge change in migration for you, then my mind is going to tell me to ask you, how far are you from that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fair question. And you may take offense to it because all you're doing is trying to tell me about yourself, but now that you've told me that about yourself, I want to know how far removed you are from it.
Language is really important.
I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah. Language
because
is really
like
important.
You want to kind of support your partner and not, you don't want them to feel like you're jealous of their, you know, like you're jealous of their past, because maybe they're just
mm-hmm.
trying to be honest with you at the moment.
You have to pay attention to language that people
yeah.
use. If they come to you and they say something like, you know, that's a behavior, a habit. I used to do things like that, but, you know, I'm going to work on it. I'm going to work on it. Every now and again I might slip, you know, but I'm going to work on it. You know, that's, to me, that's a genuine thing, because reality, if it had been a habit or something they were before, they may slip up every now and again, but if they are truly about working with you and their behavior, they're going to say something about, they're going to acknowledge that and say, but I'll work on it. I'll be aware
right.
of it and I'll work on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And those are the kinds of things that we're not really mindful of when we're engaging and communicating with one another. We're not mindful of the meaning of language. And my wife will tell you straight off the bat that I am a linguistic person. I am a stickler about language, and when someone says, oh, you're just being too literal, and I'll say things like, I'm just going from the words that you used, and with all of the lexicons that exist in this world, you chose those words, and there's a reason that you chose those words, so I am paying attention to what you said, and that's what I think you mean, until you change the words. You can't ask me to change the meaning of the words. If you mean something else, then use the words that mean.
Mm-hmm.
And now some people will say, well, you're just way too anal. But there are people who are like that. If you use certain words with them, they believe those are the words that you intended on using, because there are just so many other words that you can use. And we'll continue going into this, because jealousy doesn't just run in one direction where the person came to you. Some people might come to you and not have that particular thing about them that will make them exhibit forms of jealousy. Sometimes it's some of the things that we're doing and some of the things that we're saying. It could be baggage that they got from when they were children. It could be something that happened to them many, many, many relationships ago that hasn't completely been worked through. And please don't ever say, well, that's your issue and that's your baggage and you should have worked on it before, because it may not have gotten triggered for a multitude of years. But here we come along doing the very thing that will trigger the very thing that they remember, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about emotions, and emotions are triggered by things. There are things that make us happy, things that make us sad. Emotions are triggered by things. Mm-hmm. So jealousy is triggered by something. It could be the story that we're making up because we have so much going on. It could be some things that we're doing. The whole notion that you think is perfectly fine if you're going to be late, and I mean extremely late. I got in trouble one time for this because I didn't think anything of it because at the time I was like, she knows where I am. She knows I'm out with a multitude of people and anything that could possibly happen, one of those people will be able to get me home. And my battery had gone out and I just didn't think to say, let me borrow your phone so I can let her know that I'm going to be out much longer than I originally stated. That's not her housing me in. That's not her boxing me in. That's not her taking away any of my liberties. That's not me being in bondage, and that's not me losing any freedom. What I was being at the time when I didn't pick up the phone and say, hey, baby, you know what? We got started a little later than we were going to start, and I'm out here a lot longer than I said I was going to be out. That's me showing consideration because she's concerned, and she's at home, and she's worried. And she's not worried that I'm doing something that I have no business doing. She knows that I went out with a bunch of friends, and we went out to drink. And I'm not home when I said I was going to be home. And it wasn't like she called me 5 minutes in the late. I was like an hour or more later, and it just hadn't dawned on me. My phone was going out, and I was like, okay, it's okay. I got two other friends here. I can get away home if anything happens, if I've drank too much or something like that. And it just slipped my mind, which isn't a normal thing that I would do, but it slipped my mind because I got into singing, and we were doing karaoke, and everything just went from that point on. But that wasn't her trying to take away my freedom. That was me being inconsiderate. I mean, I can't come in here and say, oh, you're insecure and you're just jealous and you're accusing me of doing something and you think I'm doing something when, you know, I was just hanging out with my friends because I just dismissed the emotion and the feeling that she really had that I really kind of induced within her. And on top of it, I'm going to say, don't ask me any questions. You're just, you know, you're being jealous, you're insecure. I'm a grown woman. I don't have to tell you when I'm coming in and where I'm going and when I'm going and where I'm going. And it this may not be something for everybody, but for me, I think that's a problem when people say things like that and feel that way
That's a big problem.
Or in a relationship.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's like, that's a way to start an argument to me.
And I think a problem could be also if you explain that, what happened, you know, that kept you detained, and they carry on and say, well, no, you're lying, that's not true, I don't believe that, you was doing this, you was doing that. That's the problem.
Yes, well, now that's jealousy. They created now a story even after you've told them something different.
Right.
And if you've always been honest and there was no reason to distrust you, then that's exuding jealousy, and that comes from baggage that she's holding from other places. And I understand that we don't always want to work through that with some people because, you know, it can be tiring and it can zap all of the life and the energy out of you. But people show signs of what it is that troubles them when you're dating them in the dating process, but that's another thing and another show because we don't like to date. We just want to get into a relationship.
It won't happen with me. It won't happen here.
So do we have any questions out there from the audience? You guys have been quiet tonight. Come on.
But you said something, you mentioned something to the, what if we did a little, you know, twist or whatever and said, well, what if, what was that you said? What was it? It's running away from
the
me.
The person likes to trigger in order to make themselves feel, to stroke their ego. They like to trigger jealousy in their partners and sit back and watch it all play out.
See, when that happens, for me, about 60% of my respect for them leaves automatically because I don't play games. I would not do. See, because it's an emotion, and that can cause a very strong discomfort. And if you say you love somebody, why would you want to hurt them? Why would you want to see them in distress of any kind? I wouldn't. I certainly would never do anything to make my woman feel uncomfortable, make her feel insecure, make her feel anything. Because my job is to love her and make sure that whatever it is that she's feeling is nothing more, nothing else but secure. If she feels insecure, that's something personal on her, and not because of something that I'm doing. So anytime somebody's going to, you know, step out and go outside of their way to do something and make me feel some kind of way, that's not a good thing. Not for Janet, it's not. Maybe it's cute for somebody else, but it's not cute at all for me, because they're going to end up on the shit end of the stick. That's what's going to happen.
any questions within this topic that anyone has out there that's listening that wants to ask any of the hosts and that we can address before I start rotating back through my hosts for the night, for us to pull out some more things and address some more things that are going? Let's talk a little bit on how to handle that emotion when it comes, and what do we do to try to maintain control over that emotion, because it can easily get away from us.
Well, I'd like to say you have to always remember that you only can control yourself. I just want to start there. And what that means to me is, if someone is putting you in a position, or you feel like there's a situation before you that's causing you to be jealous or have these uncomfortable feelings, all you can do is express yourself to your mate, and you will hope that they honor and respect your relationship enough to make the appropriate adjustments, acknowledge your feelings and respect them, but you can't control them. So if it's a situation where they're not acknowledging how you feel, they're not acknowledging how it's causing upset in your relationship, and it's something that's ongoing, at that point you have to decide what actions you want to take for you, because you only can control you. You can't control anyone else. And sometimes you had made a good point. I can't remember when we were talking. You had stated, Minister Dupree, that we're not each other's possessions. And that is true. We're not each other's possessions, and we only can control ourselves. So when your partner is disregarding how you feel or disregarding how it's upsetting you in the relationship, at that point you got to decide what's best for you, because we all deserve to be at a place of peace. And so if you're doing things or putting me in a situation that's causing me to feel jealous, and I'm not talking about the insecurity jealousy, but Ms. Sky has said, we're all jealous. It's just a natural feeling. It's a natural emotion that we have. So if you're causing that, or you're putting me in a situation where I'm constantly feeling that, then I need to reevaluate what I'm doing and why am I still here being in a situation with someone who's not acknowledging how I feel and not doing whatever it takes to ensure that that emotion doesn't arise on a regular basis.
Okay. All right. We can go with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, if this is Sky, and this is when I get most of my clients, when it becomes an impasse where you're expressing something to your mate and they're not hearing you, and the behavior continues. A lot of times is when I'll get a call and we'll sit and talk about it. I do something called flip it in my counseling, where I'll flip it back to the other person. Because it's along the lines of you treat people how you want to be treated type of thing. And when it's a therapy called Imago that I use, where you mirror to each other. And a lot of times people will get it if they want to. If they're really invested in making this better, they'll get it. They'll get it. Okay. I'm feeling that same thing she's feeling, so let me work on this and try it. But then when you have those people who
are just not going to change into anything, then, yeah, you have to reevaluate where you are and what you're going to do about it, because nobody wants to be miserable for the rest of their lives. A relationship is two people working on things. Even if it's a habit that you have, if it's impacting you and your mate, you might have to adjust that. You might not see anything wrong with it, but the simple fact that it's affecting your mate, you might have to adjust things and do things differently. You know, that's communicating, and that's building, and building a bond for each other, because we're all going to have stuff, baggage, we want to call it. Some may have more than others, it appears, but we all have it, and we have to deal with it. That's the work of a relationship and being in a relationship. So in a nutshell, you flip it, what I call flip it, and a lot of times, and if they don't get it after that, yeah, then there's a problem. There's a much bigger problem there. Then they don't want to get it. So, yeah.
So is the flip it, is it like where you're like kind of almost reenacting how they act towards you?
Basically, yes, absolutely. It's an awesome therapy, like it's called Imago. And, yeah, and you act it out and you do it, and a lot of times they'll be like, some people are so used to being defensive or stuck in their ways.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really turn it around to where they can feel the emotion coming at them the way you're feeling it, you get the, ah, okay, all right. I see it, okay. Yeah, all right, I'm sorry. You know, then they start making adjustments. They'll see it that way. So, yeah, that's what flip it is.
Yes, and also we want to talk about the fact that there are times when you have to be very careful in your comparisons, and a lot of jealousy in relationships stem from comparisons being made between you and other people that they've been in a relationship with. For the life of me, I'm not sure what makes anyone think that that would work in any way, shape, form, or fashion, or build a stronger bond or lay a good foundation to say, well, my ex did. And,
oh my God.
Well, they would always, and you see, my response to stuff like that is, well, hold on, let me dial a number up for you and get that ex over here. Because if they were so great and they were so wonderful, why are y'all not together anymore?
Yeah.
You know, don't throw your ex in my face, because I won't throw my ex in your face, because I don't want you to have that feeling like we got ghosts living in our relationship. There are more people in this relationship, and you're fighting someone who is not even here anymore. They're not in the relationship anymore. You're fighting memories, and that's like fighting someone who has passed away. So that's one of the biggest jealousy builders in relationships that exist, that in order for you to get a person to do sometimes what it is that you want to do, you want to present what the ex did, you know. But now if that person turns around and tells you, yeah, the ex did this, 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 and this too, you want me to do that too? Is that a fair response? Yes, it is. Is that good communication? No. But it's a fair response. Because you have no business throwing your ex in their face in the first place.
Minister Dupree, that's a whole nother show. That's a huge issue that comes up in almost all of my sessions, the ex.
That's a terrible one. You know, you do that, that's you might as well expect jealousy. And then on top of it, you want to come and then say, I want to be friends with my, huh?
Yeah.
I hear that so much. Or people that have held on to those relationships with people. I still don't understand it, but
they throw their head to the side like the dog on you, then. What did they just say? Now, they just finished lamenting to me and praising this person and actually laying out the blueprint of this person to me. Now they're saying we're going to be, I'd like to work on a friendship. Yeah, right. And even if the person didn't want to be insecure about it, there was nothing you presented in that whole groundwork that would not create some. That person would have to have no feelings at all with regard to you, no connection and no bond to be able to say, if I see someone being as intimate and as familiar with you as I am, it won't touch me. It won't affect me. You're to say that it won't means either you have no true feelings for me, you have no feelings, or you're lying.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, you know, one of the things we want to talk about in order to help us work through when that emotion comes is, unless your partner, your current partner, we're not talking about anyone that's been in your past, no family members, no colleagues, none of that, because jealousy can come from a multitude of places. Baggage can come from a lot of places that are sitting in your relationship, causing problems in your relationship. But until your partner shows you that they cannot be trusted when they tell you something, try believing them. It might be foreign because everybody else that you've trusted hasn't been trustworthy, but every now and then somebody trustworthy comes along. And you can't push everybody away, and you can't treat everybody the same. You have got, I used to say this about maybe 20 years ago. You give the new person in your life their own sky. And it's up to them whether they're going to put sun up there, whether they're going to do clouds, whether they're going to drop snow, whether they're going to hail, or whether they're going to rain. But if you're giving them the sky from a previous relationship that was stormy, they're already starting off from behind, and they're playing catch-up the entire relationship. And while in a relationship, you have to work, they doing overtime, and you're treating them like a Hebrew slave. So you give them their own cloud. Now, if they bring a storm, then that's on them. But don't you start them off with a stormy sky or cumulus clouds and just bad weather and ask them to fight through it, because that's where you ended your last relationship. This is new. This is an opportunity to build what it is that you desire to build. So if the property that you purchased, you found out that it had a couple of places in there that weren't even, then you need to bring some more dirt in and level that off. Or build knowing that there are some parts of the ground that aren't level, so you have to make adjustments in that building for that. But don't just try to build as if the ground is level when it's not. So that means there's some stuff you got to let go of also. Any questions out there? Anyone want? And you guys have been quiet for a long time, and we've been talking to you and talking with one another, and I'd like to hear some people out there listening to throw some stuff to us. We had one person that was talking, and if you have something else that you want to say, please throw it out here at us so that we can address it, because we're here to kind of sharpen iron with iron. We're here to help one another, and you might have something that we can take away. Okay, I'll throw out another way.
When in relationships with your partner, be a friend to one another. You know, it amazes me in relationships
you can have a best friend and you can trust them all the mighty. You always forgive them no matter what. But sometimes in relationship with your partner, these jealous emotions arise. But I truly think that if you look at your partner as a friend, I've learned a lot. I mean, I was one of those that was a jealous type in the past, really jealous. For what reason? I don't know. I have no idea. Still today, I don't. But I do learn that it takes two in a relationship, open, honest, trustworthiness, dedication, communication, and being that friend. You know, friendship is very important. And if you respect your partner as a friend and you all view each other as that, you can get through anything. I'm convinced. As long as you have whom I believe God also a part of that relationship. So I would just like to say that. This is like my second time listening in. I've never said anything, but I would like to say that you guys have some very good sessions and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and thank you for that addition that you put in.
Yeah.
Some of the things have been said as we were talking earlier of ways to be able to control and to work through your jealousy. One of them was be prepared to potentially have to end the relationship. And that may have to happen.
Yes. Yeah. I think that if you're in a relationship and if you're involved with someone who, you know, who doesn't want to grow and you're not getting anywhere and you're truly not happy, they're not happy, maybe you're not happy, then it's time to move on, you know, and to me,
it can be hard.
No,
it can be hard, and
it's
it could be something that you
it
never thought would have to happen.
Right.
But sometimes you may have to end
hard.
It.
Exactly. It can be very hard, but it's no regrets. You know, we all learn. It's a learning process. And who never knows what the future beholds?
That's true. That's true.
So, you know, some people take a breakup and run away with it and, you know, disrespectful and bring someone down. You should never do that. You know, to me, you shouldn't anyway. No matter what happens in a relationship, it takes two. And if it ends, then my thing of it is always respect that person because you was with that person for a reason. And during that relationship, you had some fun times, some good times, no matter what. Always respect humanity anyway. So great session. Like I said, this is my second time listening in. I was invited by a good friend of mine, and this has been great. And you guys keep up the good work. Like I said, I hope they'll be able to listen in again. And thank you.
You're welcome. Janet touched on another topic. She said about playing games. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. I mean, you have to remember that the person who's in a relationship with you has feelings. And if the relationship is worth its weight in gold, then therefore they're opening themselves up to you. And they're sharing themselves with you. And I don't know that people understand how important it is to have someone who can share themselves with you because, you know, in today's society, in the way that people are being socialized, that's not easy, you know. It's not an easy thing for everyone to do. So if someone is willing to open themselves up to you, don't play games with them. If you really have no intentions of going anywhere with that person and making it work, then just don't do it. I mean, you, it would be easier just to say, you know, I don't want to get into a relationship. Can we just hang out and date? You know, you might not get the response back because that's not, they may not be what they're looking for, but allow them an option to be able to make a clear choice like you're making a clear choice.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to make a comment.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening, everyone. I actually joined the conversation about 30 minutes late, but I've been kind of tuned in here for the last 30 minutes. And I think I have a piece of jealous baggage that I carry with me into relationships. So my question to you ladies is if I tell you all what that little piece of jealous baggage is that I think that I carry, would you ladies be willing to tell me what you think about it?
Certainly.
Absolutely.
Okay, this is my little piece of jealous baggage. I purchased a house with my first girlfriend, and this was probably 22 years ago. And it's probably been, 14, 16 years since we broke up. We still own that house together. It's not something that I keep a secret, but in the last few years or so, I've seen it rear its head as a jealousy issue. Maybe I don't have any true ties to that first ex, but I just want to know. And it's not something that I hide, but what I'm wanting to know from you ladies is, how do I open up that conversation without creating a situation where jealousy rears its ugly head?
Well, we got a couple of things that we probably have to ask you. Which one of you is still living in the house?
She is.
Okay. And is she living in the home with another partner at this point in time?
Yes, she is.
Okay. All right, Sky, I'm going to let you take it first.
Yeah, the first thing I want to say is you said we don't have any real ties. We don't have any big ties. A house is a huge tie. That's a huge tie to have with someone, especially an ex. So are you in a relationship now with someone?
No, I am not.
Okay, so you say if you get in one, how would you explain it to them, or how would you bring it up?
Here's the thing. I believe in honesty and straightforwardness. So, in the getting to know you stage of any relationship that I may be considering getting into, this business about this house is something that I want to bring up because it is significant. I recognize the significance of it. And so the issue about the house always comes up. It's just here lately, I'll say over the last year or two or whatever, that I've actually seen some resistance. I mean, some real, what is really going on with you and her and this house? I don't know. To be honest, it's as simple as, you know, when we parted ways, we had the house. We didn't part ways on bad terms. And I know I'm being a little iffy when I say, you know, it's never been an issue. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me ask a couple of more questions. That'll help us be able to answer and give you some more and better answers. When you guys decided to split, you never had the thought of either one person buying the other person out or putting the house up for sale, and the proceeds that were left, you guys go and buy your own something?
Okay, let me help you with that.
Okay.
This, when we got involved, she had purchased this house.
Okay.
During the period that we were together, series of events happened, and she became unemployed. And so I actually was kind of, we were in it, we got to a place where we were in it together. So to keep her house from going into foreclosure, I kind of signed on to the deed with her to secure the house.
Okay.
But I've always, and this is the thing, I've always viewed this house as her house. I don't have any desire to want that house. I don't really have any ties to that house. And over the course of the 15, 16 years that have passed since we've been apart, there's only been one occasion where she called me regarding an issue with that house. However, so for me, on some levels, the house doesn't belong to me and I don't have ties to it. But on paper, that house still belongs to the two of us.
Okay.
So I have a question. You say you don't have any ties to her, but you still won't sign off your portion of the house if it really means that little that's causing such angst in your other relationships. Go a little deeper for me, and why are you holding on to this?
You know, okay, if I may be transparent here, I am one of these people who believes in holding true to the promises that you made long after the time that you made them has passed. So there are some historical family issues regarding her family and some other things that play into what's going to happen with the house and the property in the event that something happens to her.
Okay.
I think that more than anything else, the reason why I have not cut my ties with the house, so to speak, is to guarantee that what we agreed to have happen years ago happened.
And did you put that into writing?
Say that again?
Did you guys put that into writing?
The arrangement or the agreement,
yes,
about the house?
Yes.
No, it's not in writing, but we just wanted to be sure that her children would have the interest in that house as opposed to anyone else in her family being able to gain control of it.
I think that's something you need to reevaluate. First, determine if the kids are even interested in the house, and then go about putting it into writing, and that way it removes you from the situation that's causing a situation where you can't move forward with your next relationships because you're still tied to this piece.
Right.
And she can do that as simple as
putting it in a will.
Right. And not only that, what is your outcome from this? If something does happen to her, it's just going to go to her kids? So what's your investment?
Because I'm looking at it realistically. At this point, it has been 15, okay, 16 years since we split up. I don't have any use for that house, and I don't have any desire to own that house. But what I do want to do is guarantee that in the event that if something were to happen to her, that one of her three children, based on need, is what we agree, becomes the sole owner of that property.
Okay,
well,
so there's a way
that
you can set up your deed.
Yeah.
There's a way that you guys could set up that deed where if one of you passes away, all of the other half of that house goes to that one person, and you can will that house to anyone you want to.
Right.
There are a lot of things that you guys can do there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, because the reality of it is this, is now that I've kind of been open about the whole house situation more than on one occasion, I see people saying, my God, you still, you know, why haven't you already? And, you know, up until the last couple, until it presented itself as an issue that could arouse some jealousy in another mate, I've never given it a second thought.
Yeah. Now, here's where it might come into, but here's where it might come into play, too. Yeah. When you do get into another relationship with someone and you're building something with them, that asset becomes their asset, too.
Right.
On paper. You know, so you have to consider that.
Mm-hmm.
I would have a problem with that, especially with your telling me that in the end it's just going to go to her kids and I'm not going to get anything out of this investment. So yeah, as your new mate, I would have an issue with that. Something happens to the house, it's going to be something that we as a couple are going to be responsible for.
Mhm.
So
if you want to rid your relationship of that potential issue, you guys can have the deed changed. You can be the executor, and that way you guys have agreed and she has a will, and so you know that the choice of which child the house goes to is left up to you. That's in the will, and as the executor, you can do that, but there's a lot of dynamics you guys have with this house still being tied up with the both of you in the way. If she ever gets married, then her partner technically can, unless you guys have that deed set up where if one of you have passed away, that person's percentage goes to the living partner. Unless you have it set up that way, her next of kin can technically come in on it. In her case, it's her children and
mm-hmm.
all of them. Or it could be her wife if she gets married and she's in a state. I'm going to say most states are supposed to be accepting of it now, but that's not the truth. But she can come in on that too. She can come into ownership of her wife's part. If, you know, depending on the state and how the laws are. So there are some dynamics that you two are going to have to sit down and hash out. And she's in a relationship now, so actually you three would have to sit down and hash out depending on the severity of their relationship, how strong their relationship is and where they are in their relationship. But if she ups and gets married, you know, that adds a whole other dynamic.
Yeah. I have one last question to that. I understand you said in the beginning you were helping her out with it because she was unemployed. Now time has gone by, and you're saying you have no vested interest in this home that is hers and her children. Why don't you just release it to her at this point? Why don't you just take your name off of it and release it to her and just let it be?
You think she won't keep her word?
You know something? Truthfully, it never, the whole deal with the house never actually entered and crossed my mind until I actually said it out loud one day around a group of lesbians. Mm-hmm. Everybody. Eyes got big and people put their heads down and it was like, and I said, wait a minute, am mm-hmm. I missing something here? Because it was one of those things for me was, this was one of those things from so long ago that it just, I didn't even realize that it was a big deal. I really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, you know, but as I said, a lot of years have gone by, and I have aged and matured quite a bit over this time. So it never was or has been an issue for me. It's never been something I felt like I had to deal with.
And now you feel like you have to.
And now I feel like I have to, only because I see what it means to everyone else. See, ladies.
Well,
that's all I can get.
Well, say that because we're telling you how to free yourself from it. And I don't know about Sky, but for me, I still feel like there's something in there deep that you're not saying to us, or that you may not know yet, or that you may not have come to grips with, because we're giving you ways to remove yourself from it if you really feel that far removed, unless when you were around the group of lesbians, they said more things like, girl, I can't believe you letting her have that house all by herself, and you're not going to want it if something happens, and all of those kinds of particulars. But once again, at the end of the day, it's really all about how you want to resolve this house issue. You, in spite of what any of us say, how do you want to resolve this house issue?
And
that's something that you might want to really put some thought into, because what everybody else is saying, however they hang their heads low and all of that stuff, really is irrelevant, because it has nothing to do with them and they didn't put a nickel to the dime.
Right. I personally feel that it's a little bit more than what you're saying. And I would think about that too. I would think about that too. Sometimes it can be a tie that we're not ready to release. You know, as long as there's something, you know, tying us together, you know, we're still connected.
I'll tell you what the tie is. I can tell you what the tie is. The tie is simple. The tie is that this particular woman was my very first girlfriend, and I spent probably the first 10 years that I was in the life with this woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's your tie.
So
right
there you go.
Yeah.
And that's why you haven't done anything to remove your name from the deed. You haven't relinquished her over to the responsibility of how she's going to leave the house to her children, because, as I said earlier, sometimes with those exes, you never relinquish that tie that bonded you. And it makes it difficult to function in any other relationships, because at the end of the day, you're still romanced in your first love. Not that you still want to be with her, but you're very nostalgic about it.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And here you are telling us 15, 16 years down the road, and when you broke it down, you said it's simple. I could see you sitting up in your chair. It's simple. It's as simple as that was my first love. That was my introduction into the life. You know, and you're saying a lot when you say that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's why you're still tied. It's why you're still tied. So you have to think about how you can keep the nostalgia of that first relationship while letting go of those things that are keeping you so connected that it might be preventing you from moving into a relationship that could be just as strong and just as beautiful and have that same power. Sometimes we don't think that another love can bring us the same things that a first love can, but most of the times it's because we never give it an opportunity to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, that nostalgia of that first relationship, and she was your first, and you guys went into this, and you helped her, and you carried her, and you shouldered things when she couldn't shoulder it, and you have the responsibility of passing on the home to the child of your choice and all that. That's a lot.
Mm.
That's a lot. That's a lot for her. That's a lot for her to still have you holding. That's a lot for you to hold.
Yeah.
And a lot for her to still have you holding with a partner. With a partner. So you're going to have to do some very deep thought on that. And, again, Sky is available. She does relationships, and she does counseling. I'm available. I do counseling. So if you want to hook up with either one of us offline, Sky will be giving her information in a couple of seconds and giving you a way that you can reach out and touch her. And because this is an environment where we want, you know, the world and the community is too big to think that I want to take on everybody by myself. This is set up for everyone to be able to assist people and for everyone to be able to get assistance. So if you want to continue the conversation in a private manner and set something up with either one of us, you are free to do it. How's everyone doing out there?
I mean, just can I get
I'm
a
good.
Whoop,
I'm doing all right. I'm doing
let
good.
Me know y'all still alive out there. Thank you.
I'm alive
okay,
and well.
So Janet, let's start with you. Let's tell everyone how they can get involved if you're into groups and you're on Facebook. Janet, let's tell everyone how they can get involved into your group.
I am on Facebook. It's Lesbian Plus 40, no, I'm sorry, Lesbian 45 Plus with Class, Sophistication, and Charm. The only way you can get in there, actually, you have to be added. It is a secret group, so therefore, it used to be, I used to have it where it was pretty much where not anybody can get in, but it was once where, you know, what do you call it? Not private,
open.
But, you know, you could see it and then ask to join. It used to be that way, but it's not that way anymore because a lot of men was trying to join undercover and all that. So I kind of made it secret. And the only way that you can probably get in now is you probably have to add me or someone that you know that is in the group. My name is Janet Hurd, and you can look me up on Facebook. And I can add you. If you're not my friend already, then you can request my friendship. I will gladly add you and then add you to the group if that's something you want to be a part of. It's a very mature group. We talk about real-life issues, situations, circumstances, whatever. No drama, you know, drama-free group, you know, no porn. You don't have to worry about all this other kind of shenanigans with, you know, sexual pictures and all that kind of stuff because actually, for the most part, the group is you know, like I said, it's pretty mature. So if anybody want to join or whatever, then the only way you have to be added. So look me up on Facebook, Janet Hurd. Hopefully you can find me. I'm wearing, it's a long coat that you would see with an umbrella. Because it's probably more than one. But anyway, enough said.
Sky, you want to put out your information?
Yeah. My company is Soul Connection. The website and the Facebook group is soulconnection.org, not com, but .org. And you can reach me on either one of those places. My phone number is 240-645-7473. And I want to mention a workshop that I'm starting in a couple of weeks, actually. It's in a couple of weeks. And it's called Moving from a Relationship to Building a Life. A lot of what we talked about is exactly what this workshop is about. And what that means is two very different things, being in a relationship and building a life. It's it's an interactive group session. There's going to be four sessions. Each group is going to have five couples per session. And it's a 5-week course.
And it's my first time doing this, so whenever I do a workshop for the first time, it's half price. It comes down to $50 per individual per week. So it's $500 for a five-week workshop. After this one, the next one is going to be $1,000 for the course. So I want to add that. It's coming up soon in 2 weeks. It'll be on my site if you want more information about that. We have two groups filled so far. We have 20 couples that we're trying to get. We have 10 couples so far. And, again, it's for anybody who's on the fence in a relationship, they're on the fence, or if you're already in a relationship or building a life, just to see what that looks like, the difference between being in a relationship and building a life together. And it's interactive. It's totally online. You can come in through Skype or Google Chat, or you can just dial in. So it should be a lot of fun. And if anybody's interested, just come to my website and get information.
And I'm Creme de la Creme, a.k.a. Minister Dupree. You can find me on Life on my page and Facebook, Love in Full Enlightenment. Or you can also go to Blog Talk Radio and click follow on the Life, Love in Full Enlightenment page, and you'll be able to follow and contact me there. You guys have a great night, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Penthouse half naked. I cook this meal for you naked. Where the hell you at? Just one shot left of this drink and this glass. Don't make me break. Wish that you were me.